So chapter 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household, and all that you have, do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt, and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. The reading of God's word.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, good morning. I'm glad that you're here. It's going to be a great day today. In the first church that I served, part of my responsibility was the children's program. And on Sunday mornings, I taught adult Sunday school, but on Wednesday night, we had a kids program. And I would kind of help out and do various things with various groups. And I remember this one time I was helping with the young boys, the tree climbers, they were called. They were, as I think I remember, first and second grade boys. And there were dads and other guys in there, whatever. But that night we were playing Bible bingo. Baseball. Bible baseball. And so you had to answer questions from the Bible, you know, in teams, and you play the game of baseball. So here was the one question I remember. It said, you know, fill in this, the gap here, the line or whatever, but Jesus says, if somebody strikes you on the one cheek, what should you do? And this little boy says, you nail them. I thought, boy, that's what we think or feel, right? You know, that's sort of the normal. Well, it was a good teaching moment. You know, that's not what Jesus says, you know. And we talked about forgiveness or whatever. But truth is, most of us have probably been hurt or hit on the cheek, but probably even deeper than that, haven't we? We've been hurt in our hearts. We've been disrespected or criticized or cheated or lied to or abused, or what, the list goes on and on. And our natural tendency, of course, is to either fight, or if it's not fight, then it's flight, just run away. The Bible talks a lot about forgiveness, doesn't it? That's what we're going to talk about today. I don't have a slide for this, but let me just read a couple verses from the New Testament. Ephesians 4, Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every kind of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Similar, Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, how do we do that? Joseph had come from a family where there was a lot to be forgiven in their past, wasn't there? We've been tracking with the 12 sons of Jacob, or as we know them, the Jacobsons. They were Scandinavian Jews, right? You know. What had happened with Joseph that needed to be forgiven? Well, we won't turn there, but if we go back to the opening chapter of all those Joseph and his brothers, chapter 37, says the brothers hated him. They despised his dreams. They were jealous. They took his coat. Remember the fancy coat Dad made for him? They threw him in a cistern. And finally, they sold him into slavery into Egypt. Well, that was 22 years ago, till today's chapter. And we're wondering, what's going to happen? We've maybe even have wondered what has happened. 22 years is a long time for your family to deal with stuff or not to deal with it. I can imagine that awkwardness when Jacob would talk about his dead son Joseph and the brothers knew differently. Or young Benjamin, he was 2 when Joseph left. Tell me about my brother Joseph. Well, we're going to see Joseph. All 11 brothers had come to Egypt to buy grain. Remember, there was a 7-year famine, and Egypt was the only one that had grain, thankfully, because God had helped Joseph prepare for that. And Joseph is now going to reveal himself to his brothers. Not only his identity, but his heart. Well, Joseph, what's in your heart? What's been brewing all these years? What's going to finally come out? Bitterness? Rejection? Depression? Or just indifference? What's going to come out is forgiveness. Joseph, how do you do that? How's that possible? Well, here's our key thought. Not only for Joseph, but for us. You know, as Christians, we've all received God's forgiveness. So in turn, we need to be kind and forgiving toward other people. We kind of probably sort of get that. We should forgive. But how do we do that? I want to share 5 truths about forgiveness today. And I don't want it to be a formula like, well, you do this, boom, 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 and that's good. But I believe in our story today, there's some great spiritual truths that help us with this whole idea of forgiveness. Here's the first one. To seek reconciliation, not retaliation. Now, what do we mean by that? And how do we do that? Not retaliation, not get back at somebody, but reconcile. Well, we see Joseph in action here. He's going to secure privacy. He says, clear the room. Now, why did he have everybody leave? To this point, Joseph had shown very little emotion with his brothers. He sort of appeared to them as sort of this harsh, rational Egyptian leader. You know, they had dealt with him before. But the guys are all there now, the brothers, and they're kind of before the ruler, sort of standing trial. Not really, but they're not sure what's going to happen. Oh boy, this could be it. This could be the end. Maybe we're all going to be thrown in prison. Or maybe we're just going to be sentenced to death. But Joseph wants privacy because he's going to want reconciliation with his brothers. He's not going to embarrass them by making all of this public. That's pretty wise on Joseph's part. See, if somebody has wronged you, it's not wise to just sort of broadcast that to everybody. Oh, you can't believe what she did to me, or he said that. No, don't do that. Keep it private. Now, there's probably, well, there are some serious exceptions to that, of rape or abuse or whatever, but mostly when somebody has wronged you, you need to keep that private. Well, once you have privacy, what's going to happen? Again, he is going to seek reconciliation. He's not looking for allies or understanding or sympathy. He's just looking for the relationship to be healed. And a private setting is going to help him do that. Most of the verses here, it's Joseph talking. The brothers don't say anything till the very end. But Joseph doesn't know how his brothers are going to respond. It's a bit of a risk on his part, but he's willing to take it. He breaks his silence. Now, there's no interpreter here. So in his own language, in Hebrew, not Egyptian, he's going to say, Ani Yosef. I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers, they didn't know what to think. How would this Egyptian guy know Joseph and his name? Now, we sort of alluded to our dead brother, but we never mentioned his name. And now, before he asked about your father, how does he ask about him now? Is my father still alive? He wants to know. Verse 4. Come near to me. Look into my eyes. See my features and resemblance to Benjamin. Maybe he takes off his, whatever that is, Egyptian scarf thing. I don't know. But he says, you know, come close. See, often when people wrong us, we don't want them close. We push them away. I don't want anything to do with you. It's hurtful. It's uncomfortable. I'm not taking the risk. But you can never have reconciliation when you push people away like that. Now, oftentimes, the feeling that we have is revenge. Right? Maybe he wants some... this private and close, so he can really just lower the boom. Romans 12:9 says, Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. It's not revenge. Maybe it's blame. Now, was Joseph to blame for this? No, he wasn't. He was innocent. Had his brothers really hurt Joseph? Well, yes, definitely. And were they to blame? Yeah, they were. But that's not what Joseph is after. He's going to avoid the blame game. That's not what he wants. Now, why do we like to assign blame? Well, I was hurt. I want somebody to pay. Somebody's got to be punished in this thing. I'm not going to just let you go. Well, if you don't play the blame game, what do you do? Well, let's see. He's talking to his brothers. Don't be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years, right? 7 good years, 7 bad years. There's 5 more bad years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He's made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. What do we learn? Well, we see that Joseph is trusting the sovereignty of God, that God is in control. He kind of pulls the narrative, pulls the veil back for us to sort of see, right, what's going on behind the scenes. Joseph explains, God sent me ahead to save lives. You sold me, but God sent me. It's a very realistic picture, isn't it? Two aspects of every event, really, is the human sort of mishandling and God's sovereignty. He says, God sent me here for good. Now, what good? Well, he already kind of said God prospered Joseph. He's second in command of the whole nation. God's going to use him to save the lives of the brothers and the extended family, as well as thousands of Egyptians. Now, that's easy for us to see now, 22 years later. But rewind the tape back when things were just getting going. It probably was a bit of a challenge for Joseph to see that. Or is God really going to do anything? Or am I just going to be, remember all the things that Joseph's gone through? Maybe God's just totally forgotten about me. Maybe God doesn't really work in Egypt. Back home he does, but here there's other gods. But Joseph has trusted God all the way. And even now when some of the plan is starting to really unfold and come to fruition, he's still trusting God. Trust the sovereignty of God. In one of our former churches, my family and I were hurt. We're deeply hurt. And I played the blame game. I wanted to blame our church and the leaders and our denomination and God. I threw God in there. He had to be part of it somehow too. And even myself. And for a while, it took a bit to sort through all of that hurt. But I think we have. And even when I couldn't figure things out or get answers that were that satisfying, I threw myself on the sovereignty of God, that God knew what was happening. That God is going to work this out for good. And I really believe, now that I look back many years here, God has worked it out. I think we have healed from that. But sometimes that's all you have. God, I don't get it. And this was difficult. And this was hard. And this was hurtful. I think that was Joseph. That was Joseph. He avoids the blame game. How does he do that? He trusts God and his sovereignty. He also overcomes evil with good. There's a verse from the New Testament, Romans 12, 21, that says that exact thing. He'd not forgotten that his brothers had sold him. Oh, yeah. Wow, I totally forgot that. No. Of course he knows. And he even tells his brothers that. So it's not just wishful thinking or all, well, it's just all good. No. He was unreasonably hated. He was treacherously enslaved. He was falsely accused, right, by Mrs. Potiphar and thrown in prison and wrongly imprisoned. But Joseph doesn't blow up over the situation. He doesn't clam up. He just sort of fesses up and says, yep, this was hard. I was hurt. I didn't get it. But I kept going. I think for forgiveness to really take place in our lives, sometimes we Scandinavians and Germans want to kind of push our feelings down, don't we? We're a little more private. We're not as, we don't want to talk about them, especially us guys. We don't want to talk about our feelings. Come on. But we need to do some of that so that healing can take place and God can really work. And Joseph says, yeah, that was difficult. He's not overlooking it all. Oh, it was okay. He's not evading the issue. He says, no, that was tough. And I'm not suggesting for any of you that some of the hurts that you have are just sort of irrelevant and you just sort of walk them off. No. And I don't know your stories or what's going on or what has gone on, but no doubt, there's some hurts there. Joseph says, you brothers, you sold me. But God sent me. And there was no resentment or bitterness there. We go back to see how Joseph is gracious to his brothers. Yes, he had tested them, but he wasn't trying to make them suffer. He was just trying to reveal the truth as to what was in their hearts. He doesn't want them to suffer now, right? He says he's forgiven them, and he wants them to forgive themselves, if you remember back. Don't be distressed or angry with yourself. God sent me before you, and I'm going to take care of you. Now, he could never have said all these things if there wasn't really truly forgiveness, if he was just faking it or whatever. I know that you have had people do things or say things that have hurt you. And that can cloud our perspective sometimes. Later in chapter 50, that's the end of Genesis, when things sort of all wrap up and the brothers are still kind of wondering a little bit, and Joseph is still very honest, and he says, you meant it for evil, but God made it for good. And that's where Joseph's theology, his thoughts, and perspective and the truths about God really help take over whatever he's feeling. He says, yep, it was evil. But God meant it for good. And it allows him to be gracious to his brothers. So Joseph, how do we forgive? Well, seek reconciliation, not retaliation. Resist what sort of seems natural. Resist the blame game. Third, I'm going to move on here. He opens up his life. He tells him, hurry, Go get my father. Tell him, thus says your son Joseph, God made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down. Don't delay. I want you back in my life. All is forgiven. Let's just be together. Now, let's be honest. Forgiving others is kind of vulnerable. Joseph didn't have to do this. Right? He didn't have to sell his brother's grain. He could have had him just imprisoned or killed if revenge was what he was really after. And he never really had to reveal himself. I mean, he kind of dropped a few hints, but his brothers never caught on. He recognized them, but they never recognized him. He could have just never said anything. Those stupid brothers are, and he just could have let it go. But he doesn't do that. He opens up his life. Now, how easy is that to do to somebody who's hurt you? Not very easy, is it? You don't want to do that. A spouse, a parent, somebody in your family, a friend. Why is it hard? Because you're taking a risk. You fear you're going to get hurt again. You're not sure if they've changed. Maybe they're just going to do it all over again. Perhaps trust was broken and it's going to be hard to reestablish. And you think, I don't know if I go through all that again. But even though forgiving others is vulnerable, it's vital. We've got to do it. Just because it's hard doesn't mean we shouldn't do it or that it's impossible. God wants us to. He commands us to. Think of the Lord's Prayer. Kind of in the middle there, it says, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. That can be a kind of a challenging prayer, can't it? God, I want you to forgive me like I forgive everybody else. Really? Well, that kind of challenges us, doesn't it? To forgive people. Completely and unreservedly and with no attachments or no, you know, fine print. It's vital to our relationship with God, to our relationship with others. It's vital our relationship with ourselves. Right? Why should I let this guy off the hook? Well, see, that's the problem. We're still hooked into that. Isn't it? And that unforgiveness, I like this little quote, unforgiveness is like a poison. And it affects us. And it poisons our relationship with other people and even ourselves. And that lack of forgiveness is not a good thing. So he opens up his life. What is he going to open up his life for? What does he want to do? He's going to be a blessing, not a burden. A blessing. So look, what's he going to do? Again, the brothers haven't said anything yet. This is still Joseph. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen. You shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have, just bring it all. I'll provide for you, because there's 5 years of famine still to come. Why am I doing this? So that you and your household and all that you have don't come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see. It's my mouth that's speaking to you. I really am, Joseph. You've got to tell my father of all this that you've seen. Hurry and bring my father. I want to be a blessing. And that's the truth. Forgiveness is a blessing to other people, isn't it? Now, it's not going to be easy for his brothers because They're going to go back again to Jacob, back home. And I can just sort of imagine the conversation. Well, Dad, we have good news and bad news. Good news is we're all moving to Egypt because, well, Joseph is alive and that's where he is and he's second in command. Bad news is, well, how did Joseph get to Egypt? Well, yeah, we sort of forgot to tell you that. It's sort of been our little family secret for 20 plus years. Well, that's going to be tough, isn't it? To come forward with all that information. But for there to be forgiveness and healing and work with some of this dysfunction this family has, it's got to come to the surface and they got to deal with it. Maybe you have a family secret or a hurt that you've been carrying around for a while. And you think, well, I've just gotten used to living with the pain and the guilt of it. It's just how it is. I don't think it'll ever be resolved. And if it could, how could it? And if I take the risk and sort of bring it up and talk about it, I just know how my family's going to react. I don't think it'll be ever forgiven and healed. And then so you just go on, month after month, year after year, carrying that pain around. Well, Joseph says, no, we don't want that anymore. I'm going to be a blessing to you. You know, truth is too, forgiveness is also a blessing to us, to individually. I mean, shouldn't it, if things were going to be, quote, fair, it should have been the brothers bring gifts to Joseph. But it's the other way around. Joseph gives gifts to his brothers. He's opening up his heart, freely given. He says, this land of Goshen, this is the best land. This is not swamp land in Florida that we're giving you. This is not, I'm going to make you pay. No. This is the best land. I just want us to be together. Well, hopefully you and I can do that to someone who's hurt us last week, last year. 20 years ago. The Holy Spirit may even bring somebody to your mind right now. And maybe they are to blame. Maybe you're to blame. Or you've forgotten whose fault it was. You just know you Hatfields and McCoys never get along. Don't go down that road. Don't play the blame game. Be a blessing. Seek what God wants, and that's forgiveness. It's going to be a blessing to them. It's going to be a blessing to you. All right, one final step, and that is take the first steps. Joseph, he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after this, that, his brothers talked with him. They finally said something. We don't know what, but. Joseph takes the first steps. Why? Because forgiveness is something active. You do it. It's not passive. He embraces them. He kisses them. He cries. He hugs them. Finally, this relationship, they've been restored. See, deep inside, Joseph was not an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. And Hebrews have feelings and they demonstrate them. And they share them and they're passionate about expressing them. 20 plus years have gone by. there's a lot to catch up on and fill in the gaps and answer questions. And the relationship is worth forgiving, isn't it? And I know it is with you and me. And so we take some active steps. Don't just think, well, forgiveness will just sort of happen. You need to take and be a bit proactive. Don't just passively stand by. So that means you may need to call somebody, text somebody, write somebody, go visit somebody. Yeah, it's a little risky. But you're asking God for forgiveness and to reconcile that relationship. And so, take those first steps. It starts with you. Joseph did all of this, and he doesn't know how his brothers are going to respond. But he takes the risk. He opens up his life. He's already forgiven them. They didn't know that, but it's been a while. Joseph has already worked through this. Well, now he finally has an occasion to communicate it all and to make things right. Sometimes, yes, withdrawal is necessary if somebody hasn't repented and you just can't do anything. But the brothers had repented. They had shown. They had changed. They realized. And so Joseph is extending forgiveness. Well, Joseph could have said, I'm the one in charge, and you need to say you're sorry first. I'm not going to forgive you unless you say it first. I heard you before. You didn't think I did. But I knew that you knew you did wrong. Come on, buddy. Well, there's a bunch of them. Fess up. I'm going to sweat this out of you until you feel so bad and you finally ask for forgiveness. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Well, forgiveness. It's not easy, is it? But all through the scriptures, we see stories and principles and commands about forgiveness and about unforgiveness. Let me close with this story. We'll be done. It's a story about Corrie Ten Boom. Story that she tells about herself. Maybe you know that name, maybe you don't. Corrie was liberated from a Nazi concentration camp a few days after the Allies conquered Germany. But it took longer, she says, to be liberated from her simmering hate. So she wrestled with this whole idea of forgiveness. And she set out on the forgiving journey and kept traveling until she arrived at the place where she forgave even the Nazis who had dehumanized her life in the camps. She realized that forgiveness was the only way they could heal the hurt of the people in Europe. So she preached the message of forgiveness. She started in her home country of Holland, and then went to France, and finally in Germany. In Munich one Sunday, she was preaching forgiveness, and outside after the service was over, a man walked over to her, and he reached out his hand to her, expecting her to take it. Ja, Fräulein Ten Boom, I'm so glad that Jesus forgives us all our sin, just as you say. Corrie knew him. She was face to face with one of the cruelest and heartless German guards she had ever contacted. She remembered how she was forced to take showers with the other women prisoners while this guy looked on. And now he stood there beside her with his hand outstretched and said, Will you forgive me? She confesses she could not forgive. She was stunned and terrified by her own weakness. What could she do? Here's what she writes. I stood there with coldness clutching at my heart. But I know that the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. So I prayed, Jesus, help me. Short but good prayer, right? Jesus, help me. Woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And I experienced an incredible thing. The current started in my shoulder and it raced down into my arms and sprang into our clutched hands. And then this warm reconciliation seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with my whole heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard, the former prisoner. I have never known the love of God so intensely as I did in that moment. She says, she concludes, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover the prisoner was you. Let's pray. Father, bless us. Bless me. But with the wonderful power of forgiveness, Lord, give us the grace to unconditionally forgive those who have done us wrong. Give us the strength to let go of any ill will. Free us from all anger and bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness. Help us to forgive and reconcile those relationships. We pray all this in the name of the one who is our forgiveness, Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen.